Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Jerry.
I trust you all are as pleased to be here as I am this morning. I look forward to worshiping together with you. This is God's Word in Ezekiel 22 and 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Recently, my grandkids asked me to come and speak to their little Christian groups that meet in each one of their high schools. I was honored that they asked, but humbled that they thought that I might say something that would benefit these young adults as they attempt and try very hard to serve God. I was also wondering what I might say that would be of encouragement to them, encourage them in their commitment. There are around 40 young people in each of the two groups who are taking a stand for God in their high school community. As it turns out, I had read this verse in Ezekiel not too many days before they asked me to come and speak. I've always liked Ezekiel 22 and 30 because to me it presents an image that I can visualize, I can easily understand. And that's not true for most of the book of Ezekiel. It's very difficult. It's often hard to read. But this verse kind of stands out because of its clarity in the vision that I see when I look at that verse. So I decided to use this as kind of a starting point to talk to these young people about standing for God. And I think there's an important message here for young people, but also for all of us. And I'd like, if you give me just a few minutes, I'd like to express my thoughts on this short verse. I'll try to do three things. I'll try to summarize Ezekiel 22 so we understand the situation at the time Ezekiel was inspired to write those words. Then I'll attempt to explain what is meant by this hedge and gap. And finally, consider what it means to stand in the gap. This chapter in Ezekiel 22, we're given a list of the sins of the children of Israel. It's a long list. It includes murder, idolatry, bribery, usury, extortion, dishonest gain, for which the Lord says he will deal with them in a manner that they will find to be intolerable. He will send them into captivity. He will scatter them among the heathen. No one is spared, from the priest, the princes, the prophets, to the individual people of Israel. They're all guilty, and the complaint is lodged against each category. And there's no intercessor for them. This one man, there's no intercessor for the people. Because there's no intercessor, they are threatened with captivity and destruction. And I'll read the verse again. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. What is meant by this hedge as it's written here. I believe a hedge in the Bible is synonymous with a wall or a barrier of some type. In biblical times, there were walls around some cities. We know there was a wall around the city of Jerusalem. The wall was fortification to protect the city and to protect its citizens. When there was an opening in the wall, a gap in the wall, it was necessary that that gap be repaired as quickly as possible to preserve the integrity of the wall and to continue to protect those within. A break that was not repaired might mean that the city would fall to the enemy. While there was no physical wall around the children of Israel, there was a spiritual wall that surrounded them, based on God's love and His covenant with them. And it was a spiritual hedge. And that hedge, because of the many sins of Israel, had gaps. And the children of Israel were threatened. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Did you notice that even though the sins of Israel were great, God said He would spare the land if He could find one person among them to stand in the gap. God was not looking for an army, but just one person. From among the princes, the prophets, the priests, and the people, just one person. One person to stand before Him, to seek mercy for them all, to act the part of an intercessor, to pray for them that God might not destroy them. I think there are two messages here. One is to stand for God. One person does make a difference. And the second is to be an intercessor for others. We're told that God is looking for someone to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge, to repair that protective barrier. What does it mean to stand in the gap? To me, I think it means that God is looking for someone who will follow Him in obedience and practice leadership based on God's Word. Think of the people that we read of in the Bible that have stood in the gap. Abraham interceded for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. David chose to do battle against Goliath. Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. Stephen called upon God as he was being stoned. Paul, as he stood before King Agrippa, was standing for God. In today's world, we don't have physical walls around us or a hedge that surrounds us, but we do have a spiritual hedge. And as in Ezekiel's day, our hedge is the protection of the love of God. It's God's love that surrounds us and protects us. But it seems today that the spiritual hedge that we have has been breached, and there are many gaps. Not because God has left us, but because we, in many cases, have left Him. Fewer people than ever believe in God. And church attendance is probably at an all-time low. Serving God is more a convenience today than a commitment. As a result, we see a trend toward a breakdown of morals and ethics. Situational ethics is the rule today. God is being rejected, the Bible ignored. I believe today, as in Ezekiel's day, God is looking for someone to make up that hedge and to stand in the gap. For someone who will draw near to God as Abraham did. And someone will say with David, is there not a cause? How do we stand in the gap? What does it mean? How do we stand and fill that gap? First, I think we repent of our sins and seek forgiveness. Second, we commit to serve. Look for opportunities to serve God in different capacities, in the church, in your school, among your family, and within your circle of friends. Committing to serve God is not very popular. It takes courage. We've been bombarded by so much anti-God information that it makes taking a stand for God even harder. It makes it seem it's almost politically incorrect these days to stand for God. I think we also should have a daily fellowship with God through the reading of His Word. The words in the Bible are not just any words. They are the inspired and preserved words of our God. They instruct us. They rebuke us. They comfort and encourage us. Read God's Word. We need to have an ongoing dialogue with God in prayer. We are taught to pray continuously. That means not just our worded prayers, but also the testimony of our daily walk with God. We need to share our experiences. And this one, it's taken me many years to come to the realization that it's important to share our experiences, to share what God has done for us. It's not within most of our comfort zones, but it is so important that we share that message with others. Talk about our sovereign God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Talk about your experiences. We see God all around us in His creation. The beauty of a sunrise or a sunset, the power of the winds, the refreshing rains. Look for God's providential hand in your life. He's there, protecting, comforting, guiding, encouraging. Talk about what God means to you, what He has done and is doing in your life. Finally, look for ways to intercede for others. Intercession, praying for others, is maybe the best way to stand in the gap. Pray for those in need. Pray for your friends. Pray for your church family. Pray for your country. Just one final thought. Someone has said, if you do not stand for something, you will fall for anything. Many are falling for the world's lies today instead of standing on God's truth. In Ezekiel, we read the words that express the sadness when God found no one willing to stand in the gap for Israel. God is still seeking people to stand in the gap for His people, He wants us to pray, serve, and be aware of the needs of others. Stand in the gap. And remember, when you take your stand, there is one standing with you, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is our intercessor, the one who stood in the gap for us when he died for our sins. And he is still standing with us today. He's promised to be with us until the end of the world. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to share this with you. Now, if you'll bow with me, I'll attempt to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful that we have this opportunity to come together with these, our fellow believers, to worship your great and holy name this day. Father, we pray that you will be with us as we take a stand. Be with the young people. Give them the commitment to stand for you. Father, we pray for this church. We pray for each one who goes to make up this body. We're thankful for each one. We pray that we come together this morning. We come with one heart and one mind, and that being to praise your great and holy name and to give thanks for all your many blessings to us each day of our lives. Father, be with Brother Marty as he comes before us. Give him a message that will be uplifting, would be encouraging, would be correcting as we are needed. Father, be with each one who's been mentioned here this morning, those who are sick, those who are suffering from illness, those who are facing recovery. Father, be with those who have lost loved ones. Fill them with your very spirit this day, that they may fill you with them. Father, we ask that you look down on us with mercy. Forgive us of our many sins and transgressions, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.